Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Okay, listen, dear, here we go. We're back. We're in your ear canal. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Matthew.
Yeah.
I like the speed at which you delivered that.
Well, this is we haven't got very long in this ear canal.
We've got no time in this ear canal because you know what I can see? It's a bit like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Yeah. I can see a giant cotton bud coming our way.
Oh, no.
It's going to knock us out. Okay.
They've been banned.
What do we
Stop using cotton buds.
What do we need to say before they hear this episode?
Well, I have to say that during this episode, there are a few times I think I've got a bit of a dodgy mic and it cuts in and out.
You probably won't notice that because that's normally Clarkie's contribution.
It's sporadic.
It is.
But important.
Yeah, it's very, very important. And it's only sporadic because we talk so fucking much, you and I.
It's not his choice that it's sporadic.
It's not his choice. We just really,
much like this intro. He's waiting to talk. We're not letting him.
I don't think we're going to get a word in edgeways, are we? We're not going to let him get a single word in edgeways. So anyway, welcome, listener dear, to another episode of Pappy's Flatshare House Meeting with myself and Tom, and occasional inputs from Ben Clark.
Hello.
So anyway, it's great to have him here.
It was lovely to have Ben here.
It was really nice. You know what? It was nice to catch up with Ben. That was my favourite bit of this.
It actually was, getting to sit here with Ben and talk to you, Matthew.
It was so lovely. Ben was holding my hand and your hand. Didn't need to hold a microphone.
Throughout.
Had nothing to say.
In many ways, our hands are Ben's microphones.
Let's not pursue that any... Okay. It's a very fun episode, and we chat all about... Well, what do we start with?
What do we start with, Clarkie? I think we started...
Come on, Clarkie.
We give you a chance.
The door's wide open for you to go and contribute.
And this is why...
I don't know, actually.
I think we started with this.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting.
What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting.
Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting.
Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting.
What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
Are you limbering up?
Yeah.
Do you do any sort of yoga or Pilates or anything like that?
No, but I want to get into it.
I think everyone wants to, but I've said that for years, but it's pretty easy to start, but I just never do.
I had a massage the other day.
Oh, yeah.
How did you enjoy your massage?
I thought this could be me now. Down the road, it was 30 quid, and I thought I could be the kind of guy who gets like a monthly massage.
Yeah, I love a massage.
Yeah.
What kind of massage was it, if you don't mind me asking?
Deep tissue.
That's the best massage, without a shadow of a doubt. I had a deep tissue massage recently when I went away to a spa break, a little sort of...
Yeah.
A baby moon, we called it. A little pre-baby moon.
Nice.
And afterwards the...
I've got a question.
Okay.
After this.
This is quite quick. Afterwards, the woman said to me, I really pushed you there because, like... Some of the things I would do, even to my regular clients, would make them like scream, but you weren't screaming.
Whoa.
And I was like, yeah, that's right.
Bring it on.
I'm so tough, I could have a massage at a spa. Watch out, Charles Bronson. I'm coming for you, mates.
She makes her people scream.
Yeah, there are some things you can do. Like, and weirdly, it's not the sort of areas you'd imagine.
Your balls.
That would. Yeah, like she's... There's no deep tissue massage of the genitals. That's
not yet.
Pop an elbow on one and
she pushes hard on the sort of the crook of the arm, the area of the, you know, on the other side of the elbow, and she makes you move your arm upwards, almost like you're sort of flexing your bicep.
Yeah.
And she pushes hard on that tendon there, and most people have incredibly tight tendons right there, and you don't even realize. And she said I'm able to do it harder than you're able to do it because your body stops you from pushing it as hard as it should.
Both Ben and I, listener dear, are doing exactly what you're doing right now, which is trying to feel the tendon on the inside of your arm.
Are
you doing that as well?
In it tight, yeah.
Oh, there it is.
There it is. That's a
tight
little...
Listen to that, listener dear.
It's a tight little tendon.
Oh,
I can tell you now, Clarke and Barry Stenson just snapped. That's how tight they are.
Yeah, I'd like to be a Massey's. I find it very, I enjoy giving them. Oh, and I imagine.
Really? Yeah. I'll take one.
Yeah, I love giving a massage.
Well, maybe after this, we'll do a little massage cast.
And if, hello. That's a good idea for a podcast, isn't it? We interview and give a massage to a B-list celebrity. Mic them up.
Yeah.
We're mic'd up, but also we're micing up their body so you can hear it.
Hear the tendons.
You can hear the tendons.
You can hear the knots popping.
Yeah.
I don't mind that as an idea, actually.
Yeah,
that's quite
not bad.
That's quite a good idea.
It's like, find out what Wolf from Gladiator has been up to.
Is he B-list?
yeah, I don't know.
I think your idea of B-list is
We must have gone through this before, but who decides the lists?
I'm not sure we have.
I don't.
When do you know your, you know?
I think A-list is.
When did we first find out we were A-list?
Who's, yeah, that's did you point. Get a little, did you get the memo?
Is it like the Nando's black card? You get a little plaque outside your house, yeah. An A-lister lives here.
I think
it's A-lister, actually.
I'm on some list.
So what was your question, by the way? You had a question around baby moons, was this?
Where's the moon from?
Honeymoon.
Yeah.
Oh, honeymoon and baby moon. Well, I think there were...
Where's the moon from in honeymoon? What's the... What's the moon got to do then?
What's the honey got to do with it?
Yeah. What's the nature of honeymoon?
Is it a period of time? Is it like...
Is a moon an amount of time? As in like...
You know, full to full, like a 2 week period or something. That's like
a fortnight,
a traditional. Yeah, but I don't know. Like,
why is it not called a honey fortnight? What are you doing for your honey fortnight?
The fortnight moon. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Is where does the moon come from?
Well, you seem why you. I mean, because the moon now has become. It's a bit like, you know, Watergate.
Yes,
the gate bit is basically now means any kind of disagreement. Gate. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Or any kind of gate, yeah. But any kind of gate is now... So, like, you know, when there was that Pizzagate scandal.
Yes. They're not big enough.
Exactly, yeah.
12-inch. You having me on?
12-inch. 12-inch, you having me on is my DJ name. it's a club night I'm running now.
MC 12-inch, you having me on?
12-inch, you having me on. It's a club night, right? And here's how it works.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Is it based around pranks?
It could be based around... I guess it kind of is based around pranks, if you think about it. Oh. So the DJ's there, right? And a bloke comes up to him, right? They brought a 12-inch. That's how you get... You've got to get in, right? Yeah. You've got to bring a 12-inch, right?
Yeah. Are we talking pizza here?
We're talking about an LP records. At this stage. But there's also a buffet.
Lovely. Oh, wow.
12-inch.
My kind of disco.
You bring out the 12-inch, right? Yep. And you say to the DJ, 12-inch, you having me on? And he does that thing that they do, you know, the thumbs up, thumbs down, like the Gladiator, and he puts his thumb up and you play the next song. You're out of it. You don't like it, do you?
I'm going to give it a go.
Yeah?
I'm going to give it a go.
Because there was a really, you know, there was a proper kind of like silence that felt a little bit like when a plane changes gears, where I was just sort of floating and going, where's this going to go? But
So you're tagging in. You basically tag in the DJ.
You tag in and you get to play a 12-inch remix of your favourite song.
Speaking of this, sorry.
Go on.
Don't be sorry at all.
The plane... The other day, I was having a flight back, and we started our descent, and then pulled out of it.
Whoa! You went back up.
Yeah,
Clarky, why don't you tell us about
this? And they were like, "Oh, we're not going to do that descent." There was a lot of panic looks around.
And so this was the pilot came over or one of the
the pilot came over would be slightly if you're in the middle of a descent and the pilot suddenly turns up at your seat. This is not going well. Yeah. Go on,
what do you think of that move, mate? Pretty fucking fly. I'm the pilot. The pilot came over the tannoy and
it was
one of the air stewards.
Yes, that's it. It was an air steward that did that, and then after. The pilot said, we had too much for tailwind and we have certain regulations. And when there's too much for tailwind, we have to abort that.
You have to go straight back up.
I have to come back out.
And
circle around
and
do it again.
In those moments, because they say in moments when you're about to, when you feel like you might be perishing, like you get a true sort of clarity of mind, like your life flashes before your eyes.
Yeah, what did you see?
What did you see? Was there anything, Clarky, that you thought, Never got to realise that dream. Never had a deep tissue massage.
I never pushed the tendon
on the crook of my arm.
I was going to say, I've never had a deep tissue. In fact, the only massage I've ever had proper was the one you bought me at Glastonbury.
Yes.
That first time. Because we
saw it, mate.
We'd almost killed ourselves walking in with way too much beer.
And Clarky was in a bad way.
It
seemed like he wasn't going to enjoy Glastonbury, so I took him up to the healing fields.
Got him healed.
It was great.
Paid for him to have a massage, and he came out absolutely tip-top.
Oh.
Sorted me right out.
It was one of those holistic massages where they bang a gong around your head.
Oh, do you know? You know,
rub the bowl and stuff.
I love that.
I rub the bowl
at Glastonbury. Your bowl was really relaxed.
I was just giving this bowl a rub.
Oh, that's the spot. At Glastonbury, I did the Reiki drum healing.
Oh yeah,
and
oh.
I went. Do you remember this?
Remember this? Yeah.
Have we talked about this on the podcast before?
I'm not sure I don't think so. Actually.
Okay. Well. You know, I went to the spirit realm.
Oh, I know you went to the spirit realm, mate.
I went to the spirit realm.
You visited it?
I visited the spirit realm. Afterwards, the woman who performed it for myself and Charlie, we went there together.
Yeah.
She sort of said, explain to me what you've seen. And all you're doing is you're lying there on... you're lying there... Where
lying she, down or...
You're just lying down in a tent, right?
Yeah.
And she is shaking a little turtle shell rattle.
Right.
She's shaking that over your body. And she's banging a drum in a rhythmic way.
Okay. She's doing this at the same time.
No, this is two different things.
Oh, okay.
She's only got two hands.
I was going to say, because this it wasn't amazing.
What about the spirit realm? Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah. I met Vishnu, guys. And Vishnu was... She's doing these two things, and it sort of lulls you into this meditative state.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you're lying there, and interesting, she mentions a gate. She says, before we do all of this, I want you to lie down. Now, you're going to walk along a bridge, and you're going to see a gate.
Yeah.
Now, in my head, I was like, I'll walk on a little rickety wooden bridge, and I'll see a wooden gate. Like, I sort of already thought, that's what I'm going to see. So I lay down, I got into this meditative state, and then I saw the bridge exactly as I'd imagined it, but the gate... wasn't like the gate I'd imagined in my head. So it was clearly like it was something that my subconscious was throwing up rather than my active brain was thinking of it. Mm-hmm. And it looked like a Stargate. And so I disappeared.
From the film.
So like a
Kurt Russell there?
Kurt Russell sadly wasn't there. The bloke who played MacGyver was. It must have been the TV. Yeah.
Your trip to the spirit world was the TV adaptation.
It must have been the TV adaptation.
What a wounder.
It didn't look like the metal thing around the Stargate. It looked like the actual bit of this, like the sort of just like it looked like a kind of great sort of like fiery kind of chasm that I then disappeared into.
God.
And once I was in there, wow. I could see. Yeah. Well, it's right. But once I was in there, I saw, cities made of gold, and I travelled upwards, and I saw, like, faces of, like, old men, and I saw faces of babies, like, coming towards me.
Wow.
And I disappeared up through the sky, and I appeared in a completely white, like, sort of, like, a completely white area.
Yeah.
I don't mean, like, you know, I don't mean, like, the Cotswolds. I mean, like, you know, I meant, it was a bit like 2001, I guess. All the walls were white, everything was white, and I could feel myself. I still was aware I was lying down, but I was lying down in this area, and I explained all this to the woman afterwards, and she burst into tears, and she said, oh, my God, this has never happened to me before. I've always wanted this to happen. You entered into the spirit realm.
You've been there.
I went.
You were the only time it had worked for.
Yeah, it's the only time. Well, because you get visions about your future,
right?
So, for example, Charlie, I'm sure she won't mind me saying this. She saw a maze, and there was like an escape route out of the maze that led her to a beach where she saw a turtle, which is apparently her spirit animal.
And does that mean she's going to divorce you?
She was like, "How do I get out of this hedge maze that is my life?"
She's going to divorce me. The shine.
And then walk directly into the sea.
There's an escape route, Charlie. There's an escape route. It's going to be okay.
Matthew's just going to be there frozen.
But anyway, yeah. So we were crying and like, you know, holding hands with each other and talking about the spirit world. And it was it was really something else. And I know there are going to be people who are listening to this now and going, you are a total wanker.
Well, there's going to be a couple in this room, to be honest.
Clarky, you bastard. Clarky, you absolute... Do you know what? He's done me there.
Absolutely.
And no amount of spirit realm is going to save me. But there are people in this, there are people who are listening to this who are going to think, but you know what? In those moments, I think it's better to give yourself up to those kind of things and, sure, to, and yeah. to believe it. You know,
go with it. That's what Glastonbury's about.
Exactly. I'm not sort of going, oh, brilliant, it's cured my leukemia. You know, I'm just using it as a really. Did you not hear about my leukemia?
What a way to tell us. Bloody hell.
Exactly.
Wow-wee.
I'm not using it for anything other than, you know, a little bit of sort of personal well-being.
Sure, oh, yeah. There you go.
But I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed
it. So did you see the spirit world when your plane was...
Sorry. No, I got nothing. I
just, you got nothing from it?
I got absolutely nothing.
Oh, what a
nothing
waste.
Off of this.
What a waste.
This would be a story to tell.
Just gave you a small little flip in the stomach and a sort of little tickle in the balls, and that was...
Yeah, I was kind of... I'm generally quite calm on a plane, so I was all right about it. And also, my girlfriend was clearly a bit more stressed about it. So sure. That was more where my focus was. Hold a hand and look calm.
Right, exactly.
In the first week of year seven, Rich Williams came in and said that his dad had been on a Concorde that had slipped off the runway and he'd jumped off it to survive.
Whoa!
Big year seven lie. Big year seven lie.
Can I just say, in moments like that, I just choose to believe it.
Just go with it.
You know what? Because that's, you know, I'm not saying that story is going to cure my scrofula. But something's got to.
And here's something. My partner was once on a long distance flight to Bali, and the pilot, you know when they stick it on autopilot in the middle of the night or whatever, came down the plane and noticed her, and then on the way back from the toilet started trying to chat to her.
Trying to chat her up?
Yeah. What? Then he went back to the cockpit and then came back later on when everyone was asleep and tried to chat her up and tried to give her a number and stuff. What a baller move.
Tried to give her number.
Do you think that's what pilots do? You think pilots do that all the time, being like, I am the pilot?
Once it's
just
on
swaggering down the plane.
There's something about the pilot uniform, isn't there?
Once it's on autopilot, though, that time's your own. And you've got a captive audience of people to crack onto.
You're the alpha dude, aren't you?
Yeah, and also you've got the added frisson of like, if this doesn't go well, maybe this flight won't go well.
I'm going to crash. Give me your number, else I'll crash the plane.
I think that
is... it's been said.
That is, by the way, the worst example of toxic masculinity. if you don't go out with me, listen to me. If you don't go out with me, I will drive this plane to a fucking mountain. I've done that threat before. I'm not proud of it. It's just I haven't been on a plane, so it hadn't held any weight. Did she like the guy? I mean, obviously now she's with you and she's very happy. Congratulations to you both. But did she like the guy? Did she go?
No, she didn't. I think he was a
bit full on,
bit much.
Yeah, it's a bit
and
much.
A bit quite old as well.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with being old.
No,
she's going out with you.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Socks only useful for putting your feet in.
House meeting.
I think it's something to do with the uniform. Like, pilots don't need to wear uniforms, but
I think they do. I think you'd be...
Why do pilots need to wear uniforms?
So that people know it's the pilot.
Why do they need to know it's the pilot? They're in the cockpit.
Yeah,
they're flying the plane.
No, but I think
your train driver doesn't need to wear uniforms.
Train drivers wear uniforms,
uniforms.
They don't need to, though.
I think police don't need to wear uniforms, but
well, they do, don't they? You never, when you see a woman get mugged, you want to run to a policeman. You want to say, officer, problem over there.
Yeah.
But you never see a train and want to run to the driver and go, driver, drive this train.
That's a very good point.
He's the guy who's driving the train, right?
But I think there are certain jobs that carry like responsibility.
Yeah, but that's like
you
IT
look,
guy.
You
the IT
look
guy in the
them.
Office. He doesn't
no,
wear a uniform.
No,
no,
but you want to look at them and say, okay, that person, they're smart, they know what they're doing. Jeans and t-shirt, I don't want you driving my plane.
Yeah.
Taxi drivers.
It's slightly different.
I don't think it is.
I think taxi drivers, I think, is different.
It's very similar.
Because they've shown up in the taxi, and that's all you need to know. If you saw a bloke walking, right, say, for example, if you're in first class and you're right by the cockpit, and you're walking.
Someone's doing pretty well for themselves.
So if you, I mean, I'm we live in hope, don't we, that one day we're going
to
see...
Is this another one of your visions? You drifted up to first class.
No, listen.
For a first class ticket.
I'm saying if one were in first class.
Ooh,
listen, can I just...
If one were in first class.
I've never flown first class, guys, all right?
Oh, you haven't.
I've flown... Through the astral planes.
Oh, yeah, don't we know about that?
Sure, I've flown through the astral planes.
Business class.
Even that, I was premium economy.
It was cramped. It was cramped.
Even when I went to the Spirit Realm.
On Ryanair.
Can I take one piece of luggage? but if you saw the pilot going in and he just looked like, you know, Terry in his overalls, you wouldn't be like, oh, brilliant. This guy's got it. This guy's got it.
People have a lot of nerves about flying. And I think that having someone who looks the part,
100%,
that helps.
If you look at the pilot and you go, look, he's got a nice crisp white iron shirt. He's got that natty little hat on. He's looking good, you know. Then you think they've probably checked everything else. It's a bit like the brown M&Ms, you know, like, when Van Halen asked for all the brown M&Ms to be taken out. Yes. People saw that as a big diva-ish demand.
Yes.
But the actual reason was, it means it proves they've read the entire rider. So if they've taken out the brown M&Ms, then you know that they've checked that the drum rider is on is not going to fall into the crowd, or that all the lights are rigged in the right way. And I feel it's the same.
We did
the
that
same
when we toured, didn't we? The last thing we had on our rider was, please don't shit in our dressing room. Whenever we get to our dressing room.
I thought we asked for them to shit in our dressing room.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I actually think I wrote that as a note to you, Tom.
Oh, that's sorry. What it
was. Yeah, please. Okay. If we're in a tiny dressing room, mate.
We did have the swivel lamp that foxed everyone. Remember?
Oh yeah, we asked for a swivel lamp, but I mean, We asked for a swivel lamp.
No one knew what it was.
I don't know why we asked for that. We didn't use it.
I don't think we specifically asked for.
I like
it.
That that's the example. That's us at our hedonistic most successful.
And everyone,
we would ask for a swivel lamp, and everyone we'd go to,
we'd get there, and everyone would go, "I'm sorry, we don't know. We don't have a swivel lamp. We don't know what that is." And we got neither do we.
But thanks for reading. So I think that's what you get with the pilot, though. You get this. You get this idea of a precision.
Wouldn't you just get that with like a hat?
No, what? Just a naked man in a hat flying your plane.
Not just only a hat.
Who's that tubby naked guy wearing a fez? Oh, this is going to shock you, but he's the pilot.
All aboard! All
aboard! Later on, I'll be popping down the aisle to see who I fancy.
How do they make bread with no wheating?
House meeting.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It'd have to be a hell of a hat.
Yeah. T-shirt, jeans, and a pilot's hat. You look like you're on a stag do. You don't look like you're about to fly the plane.
Okay. I hear what you're saying.
Thanks, man.
I like the idea of a dressed down pilot. We just like, you know.
Why? Right. The next time you go on a plane, do you honestly think you'd be happier if the pilot was wearing his scruffs?
Dressed down pilot. That sounds like it could be like a cool description for someone, you know. It'd be like, you know.
So, sort of like a pilot who dresses down.
Oh, you're like Sarah. She's a dressed down pilot. Do you know what I mean?
So what would that mean? Like someone who's got a really good job, but you'd never know it.
Here we go. Or someone who knows what they're doing, but doesn't stick it on a plate.
A dressed down pilot. Yeah.
Like, you talk to them all night long and never know how rich or whatever it is.
Yeah. And it's like at the end, they go like, oh, you know, they've got like four houses in the Maldives or whatever. And you'd be like,
four in the Maldives alone.
They're a dressed down pilot. You know, or whatever it would be, but like
they're a bad estate agent.
Because we've met people who are dressed down pilots, where you try to go, you know.
I mean, that would be the goal.
They haven't got the uniform on, but they
to
can
end
fly
up
the
a
plane.
Dress down pilot, surely that's
exactly that's what I mean. It's like sure, because what I think what you have then is this kind of like, you know, like in a rom com or something where like the guy bumps into the girl and they're like, "Girl, what will you watch where you're going?" And it's like, "Blah, you just spoiled my coffee." And then it's like, "Blah,
hey, you're spilling my coffee."
And then you get on the plane and it's like, "Oh, mamma mia, they're the pilot."
He's wearing a chef's hat and nothing else. That's a spasim in the ball.
That coffee really hurt.
We fly a Bella Italia. I don't know what this airline, all this rom-com is.
But you know what? I 100% agree with you because... I like the idea of somebody who is not showy about their wealth, because it turns out there are people who are kind of like in that, like the upper tier.
Yeah.
You know, who actually really want to whack it about.
You know, your surgeons in the scrubs. And
exactly.
The mask. Give it a rest.
Exactly.
Just wear your jeans and t-shirts, mate.
The surgeon thing.
Take off the rubber gloves for once in your bloody life.
No. Do you know what? I think you could be a dressed down pilot on your own time, but if you are a pilot or a surgeon or a proper job, then you kind of have to dress in that uniform.
Yeah, a dress-down surgeon.
You don't want that.
That's a different... That's an irresponsible thing. It's like, don't put Sarah in charge of that. She's a real dress-down surgeon.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast recently about a sort of really... like a bad spinal surgeon. Because what I know how to unwind. It's called Dr. Death. It's actually very upsetting. It's okay. About... If you enjoy... detailed descriptions of botched spinal surgeries, it really is 6 episodes of fun. But the first episode really made me laugh because they're talking about a surgery they're doing, and one of the nurses says, "I noticed that he had a hole in the trousers of his OR scrubs so you could see his butt, and the reason I noticed this was because he's had it like every day this week. It was the same he was wearing the same
scrubs,
so OR scrubs, and also freeballing it, going commando." You can, I think...
A commando surgeon.
How big was this hole?
Well, you couldn't see his whole arse. He wasn't wearing chaps. I imagine it was like the size of a cigarette burn. But that's kind of what I'm imagining.
Yeah.
But I think basically, a dress-down pilot, I'm fine with. Dress-down surgeon, yeah. You can't
a
be a
commando
surgeon.
No, thank you.
Yeah. This guy's a bit of a commando
surgeon.
He's
a commando surgeon.
He's not good at this job.
Look, we need to get out of here. The pilot is a commando surgeon.
I thought it was a dress-down pilot.
No, the pilot's a dress-down pilot, that's fine. If your surgeon's a dress-down pilot, that's fine. But if your pilot is a commando surgeon, get off the plane.
You've got to get off the plane.
Yeah.
But I don't think you realise your pilot's a commando surgeon until, as Clarkie did, they go, "What? That bit didn't work."
Hello.
There's got to be, I mean, pilot's first go. I mean, some of us must have been on a pilot's first proper flight.
Yeah.
One
of the things you cannot do is tell anyone.
So, but that must happen. Yeah, that must happen
that
all the time.
Journey. Of course. Hold on to your hats.
You know, the first time you after you're driving.
First time for everything.
Hold on to your hats. I'm wearing a hat. Nothing else.
That's it. It's a chef's hat. Hold on to your chaps. I'm your surgeon. like, we must have been on a plane at some point where it was the pilot's first ever, like, "Oh, I'm in charge. I'm not being supervised today."
Shit, panic.
And we don't realise that.
No, they don't advertise that fact.
No, that could have been like, learn a pilot. And they go, "Here you go, land the plane."
Here's a question for the... Here you go, mate. Land a plane. Here's a question for the two of you.
Oh, yeah.
So you know they do this thing now, which is like secret retreats.
Yes.
Where if you just show up at the airport, they will tell you when you arrive at the airport where you're going on holiday, and the holiday is therefore much cheaper, right? So like it's basically a way of filling up flights that aren't being booked out and filling up hotels that aren't being booked out. Would you go on a flight if you knew it was the guy's first flight, but it was much, much cheaper?
Yes.
So would you fly to Los Angeles?
Clarkie
straight away.
Bargain Clarkie, didn't even think.
Loves a bargain.
About that.
No, I totally. In the same way that, like, you can get your hair cut by the student hairdressers at Tony and Guy and it's free.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah, that's different, isn't it?
Is it? Do you think so?
Yeah.
So you'd rather walk around with. You'd rather die than walk around with a bad haircut, which is mad for you because you don't have any hair.
No, I'm saying I'm all right with the hairdressers. Fine.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Oh, he's
sorry.
Fucked up my hair. That's great.
Yeah.
Not, you know, she flew me into a mountain or
yeah,
whatever.
But how like, often, how often do they fly into a mountain? If you knew it was a person's first flight, but it was 50 quid to fly to Los Angeles, or where do you want to go? You want to go to New Zealand, right? There's expensive flights.
Yeah.
Almost as far as you can fly from the UK. Say they said, look, you and your partner 100 quid each to fly to New Zealand, but this bloke, he's never flown unaided before. Would you take it?
You know what? No.
Good night.
I don't mind splashing a bit of cash just to make sure you don't fly into the sea.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know? But I think that the majority of flights that go down is mechanical error, not human.
That's true. This is true. There's a good example of this.
I can fly a plane. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I would trust Clarkie.
My thinking on this is, I think my big worry is I don't want my last moment before I die to be, oh,
I knew it.
It's my fault. You know, it's part of the reason why the thing about buying a motorbike is, like, if you buy a motorbike and you crash your motorbike, that split second before you die, you must go,
shouldn't have bought that motorbike.
Why buy a moat? Of course.
Yeah.
And it's like that moment, or like someone who's died skydiving, it's like, oh, I did this.
I brought this on myself, yeah.
And it's like that moment, I don't want that moment.
No.
I want it to be like, I want the moment before I die to be like, oh, you've done this. I want to be killed, is what I'm saying.
You want to be killed by somebody else.
That's my dream. My dream is to be killed.
You might have read about this in the papers, but you know, Mr. Play It Safe was afraid to fly.
What?
He packed his suitcase, kissed his kids goodbye. He waited his whole damn life
to get
on that flight.
Mr. Play It Safe got on the plane.
Yeah, but as the plane crashed down, he thought, "Well, isn't this nice?" And isn't it ironic?
That was in the news.
That was in the newspapers. I think it was in today's paper.
Wow, eh?
Why did he think it was nice just before he crashed?
Oh, he loved it.
Play It Safe's a lunatic.
I don't know. He said it gave him a boner.
Clarkie can confirm or deny this. You were halfway through the descent. How was it working out for you?
It was more ascent. I'll tell you that much.
We have to stop a second. We're going to be right back after these messages.
It's a shame. I'm saying some really good stuff here.
What about a film where Clarkie asks someone to marry him as the plane's coming into land, and it's called Indecent Proposal?
We're just having a bit of technical difficulties here. I think Tom's microphone's broken as well.
I think Tom's brain's broken.
How's that? How do I sound now?
Yeah, sounds good, baby. Sounding good.
Nothing for my Indecent Proposal thing.
Oh, you're guaranteeing it makes the edit? So we were talking about massages.
We were.
Right.
It's pronounced masseuses.
Well, they give the massages.
Right.
The masseuses give the massages, but the massages are what's being given. We need to iron these finer details out before our podcast, mate.
Masseuses wear kind of uniforms, don't they?
Yeah, I guess they do. Yeah. They'll often wear a kind of sort of halfway between a kind of sort of medical outfit and a kind of kimono. Is that fair to say?
Right.
Like sexy surgeons.
No, it's nothing sexy about it. Okay. I don't. It's not a sex.
Glossy dentist.
That was.
You call a massage the glossy dentist.
The glossy dentist.
So, glossy dentist aside, I had a massage.
Oh, yeah.
Deep tissue?
This wasn't a deep.
Sport?
Well.
Holistic? What? Go on. Holistic? Deep tissue?
Yeah.
Sport?
Swedish?
I thought sport.
Swedish.
It wasn't Swedish, but yeah, that's another one.
Sport and deep tissue are different.
Ah.
Sports massage is like often.
You're on a treadmill.
You have to hold a tennis racket while you're doing it.
Chase you around the pitch.
They do it with actually one of those tennis ball machines that pops them out of here. And you're just like, oh, that worked out the knots. I think the sports massage is like what a physiotherapist would do for you.
Right.
Localised, I would imagine.
Injury repair.
If you've got very tight glutes, which.
Let's face
dear,
it.
I really do.
Yeah?
My physiotherapist says it. My osteopath says it.
What
the hell?
How many therapists have you got?
I got three, baby.
You got a team.
I got a team working on this bod. Of course. You got to have a team working on the bod.
I got nobody working on mine.
I'm going to get you a person to work on your bod, Clarkie.
Someone's got to.
He's paying me to do it, sadly.
Yeah.
I'm your new bod pod. Pod.
And I insist, you wear some sort of uniform.
You've got to dress like a glossy dentist.
It'll be an apron. It'll be like one of those, you know, Kiss the Chef aprons that you wear at barbecues where it's got like a muscly picture on the front.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
But that'll be your bod by the time we finished. That's wow. my promise to you.
Can you make, you're going to make me muscly.
No, I'm going to buy you an apron.
Yeah. I'll take it.
We didn't talk, by the way, we haven't got our horny boss of the horny boss of the house aprons made yet.
Yeah,
but,
we've got to. That's part of our
promise.
Merch drive.
Part of our promise to you. I've got no idea if that episode with Steve Dunn, BBCC, has gone out yet, but if it hasn't, don't worry. You know what? Your kids are going to love it.
Time travel across here.
So I did. I got a massage in a hotel in Vietnam.
Ooh.
Now, I'd been traveling with my wife for... we'd gone on a long trip.
My wife and I.
We'd gone on a long trip and I decided I'm going to book a really fancy hotel for the final weekend of the trip.
Great.
So I booked, I think it was called like the Senator's Suite in this, you know, like it was a hotel with an extra room to it. It was really nice, you know. Wow. And I completely blitzed all the money I ever had, basically. I was like, you know, you're going to chuck a bit of money at a hotel. Can't take it with you.
You've got to do the honeymoon properly.
You know you can take money home from a holiday, by the way.
Oh, is that what the expression, is that what the expression means? Because on the last day of my holiday, I chucked the rest of my money into the sea. So,
got to give it back to the local economy.
Can't take it with you. Draw out all my money. into the ocean.
Weed it into the sea.
Ho Chi Minh'd it straight into the sea.
Got on the plane. Saluted the pilot.
And yeah, took off his fez, popped it over his cock. I said, have some goddamn respect, man. You're flying this plane. So
you're chunking all the change on this swank hotel.
So I think, why not book myself into the spa that's part of the hotel?
Excuse me.
You're falling apart, Clarky.
Can we get his mic cutting out again?
So I thought, why not book myself into the spa that's attached to this hotel?
Treat yourself, you've earned
it. And
the end of a long holiday.
So my wife and I, we went along to the spa. Whee! And we said, like, we both like to book in for massages. They said, well, there's one place today and there's another place tomorrow. Who wants to go first? And Charlie said, well, I want to go for a swim. So I'll go for a swim. You go for the massage now. And they said, "What? The best massage we do is the four hands massage, right? Two people massaging at the same time. And I thought, God damn it, sign me up for the four hands massage.
Double glossy dentist.
Glossy dentist. So anyway, I go and I have a shower and I lay down, and they put me in a little pair of paper pants.
Paper pants?
Little pair of paper pants, yeah.
That's the uniform of the massagee.
And no, it's not. it can be, sure. So I'm wearing these little paper pants and I'm lying there and these two ladies are not doing a phenomenal job. Now, bear in mind, I'm a deep tissue guy. So yeah. I like a massage.
You've got your
rep. Hard.
Getting tendons.
They're pouring oil over my hair. They're sort of touching me and, you know, like over the legs and torso, but it doesn't feel like they're actually massaging me. And I'm sort of going, this is a bit of a crap massage.
Yeah.
And then they say, are you happy? And I say, yeah, very much. Turns out they hadn't said, are you happy? They said, do you want to be happy? And I said, what do you mean? And they said, how much to massage this? And they start prodding my little paper pants and prodding my little todge. And I say, I'm all right, thanks very much. I don't want any of that. And then I go to the reception and I say, my massage wasn't very good. And they've prodded my knob. Do you mind if I don't pay for it? And they're like, all right, well, we'll get the women out who did the massage and you can talk to them. And I was like, no, don't do that. So they bring the women out and they say, what's going on? What was wrong with the massage? And I go, well, you know, you tried to touch my knob at the end of it. And I didn't really enjoy that. And they're like, no, we didn't. I was like, okay, all right, well, don't worry about that. And so I go back to the receptionist and say, look, like they've said they didn't, but I don't want to pay for it. Basically, like, well, you have to pay for it. I said, well, is there any sort of manager I can speak to? And then the manager comes out and he sits me down and he says, so what do you think's happened? And I said, oh, I think they tried to touch my penis during the massage. I'm really stressed at this stage. And he goes, no, they didn't. And I go, right, okay, well, I don't want to pay for the massage. He goes, I'll give you 15% off. I'm like, no, because that's not enough. And then at this point, Charlie arrives to come and pick me up, and she sees me there looking all stressed, and she goes, what happened? Did they pour oil in your eyes? She assumed that, like, someone like that. I was like, no, they tried to touch my knob. And she's like, right, well, this we've got to sort out a problem. And they basically were like, look, we'll charge you tomorrow when you leave, but we're not going lower than 15% off. Because there's a thing in Vietnam, they said, there's a thing in Vietnam of face. And if we admit wrongdoing, then we lose face.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, but I've lost quite a lot of face myself here because I've had my knob touched by someone I didn't want to touch my knob. And so then I Googled the hotel, like, which I should have done before I'd been there. Yes. But I Googled the hotel and some like key phrases. And it was like on all the, if you're a sex tourist, you've got to go to this hotel. Oh. We booked ourselves into the proper old sex hotel.
The sex hotel.
Yeah. And I thought it was just it looked really swanky, and it was like old Vietnam. It's like where the journalists used to stay.
Of course
back in the day. But I think it's where the journalists used to stay now.
You stay, yeah.
We want a little bit of the old.
You're in the senator's suite. It's where all the senators were.
So eventually we managed to speak to a different, manager, a woman who managed to sort of knock the price off.
And how was Charlie's massage the next day?
Oh, she loved it. Came four times.
Four hands.
Absolutely. But anyway, yeah. So it's so just deep tissue now. From now on, I think.
What was the
hotel?
I'm just, I promised Clarkie I'm going to look after his bod. I'm going to book him in.
I tell you what, we've got four hands. Clarkie, we could do a four hands massage right now if you want.
Go on then.
House meeting.
Is having subtitles on a foreign film cheating?
House meeting.
Wow. Strong and long and good.
All of those things are absolutely true, Tom. Strong, long, and good. What a wonderful episode it was.
I really enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. Clarky.
Yeah.
Clarky, you're here.
Yeah, I'm here. If you enjoyed it too, leave a review on iTunes.
Oh, yes, please.
Get on the Patreon and get involved. Patreon.com/flatshare.
Have we got any reviews we'd like to read out?
Yes, there's a nice one here that says, always excellent 5 stars. Not only funny, but joyous and life-affirming. Never not an open and closed shut briefcase.
Lovely.
Which, in terms of negatives, and I don't know, never not an open. Who knows?
I think never not means always.
Great. Always an open and closed shut briefcase?
Sure, why not?
Never not. I've got one here that's 5 out of 5 schmangs. The old girl never disappoints.
Hey, come on. Go on, old girl.
By the way, speaking of the never nots, I've just literally seen this now on iTunes. It never makes me not laugh. Guys, ooh, just say it always makes me laugh. You're confusing the hell out of us here, but still, 5 stars from What's My Password. Thank you very much. I wanted to read this one, though. This is from Toast, where the S is a 5, if you want to hack into his Wi-Fi. they simply say tattoo. And did we make a promise? Producer Emma, you'll remember this. Did we make a promise to get tattoos?
We're getting a nod here. Yeah.
We're getting a tattoo. Okay, so this is the tattoo we're all going to get. It's a wolf. Good start.
Yeah, I'll take that.
With a piece of toast on its head.
Uh-oh.
I mean, I think he's just taken his own name there and whacked it in there. A wolf with a piece of toast on its head looking wistfully at a copy of the Financial Times.
Perfect.
Wham.
Well, it's what I've always wanted.
Check out our Instagram tattoo. Because we're going to get those tattoos. And they're definitely, honestly, going to be real tattoos. It might look like I've just got Clarkie to draw my arm with a biro, but it's a real tattoo, guys. If you'd like to come and see us live, we have got some shows coming up. Clarkie.
We've got 2 shows coming up. We've got one at the End of the Road Festival, and that's on the 30th of August. That'll be a load of fun. Please come along. And we've also got one on the 8th of September, and that's at the London Podcast Festival, King's Place. Come along to that too.
I'll be performing up at the Edinburgh Festival with a solo show called Parioki. So if you're at the Edinburgh Fringe, please do come along. It's at 6 p.m. in the courtyard.
And I'll be doing my show on Radio X. If you'd like to listen to my show on Radio X, are we allowed to promote that on this?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, go on, why not? Sundays, 8 till 11 with me and Ed Gamble.
It's a real treat.
Yeah. It's a real treat.
Today's episode was produced by Emma Corsham. Corsham team! And you need to look after yourselves and each other. Cheers, everyone.
Bye.
Listener dear, please be upstanding for the Patreon Neighbourhood Watch Roll Call.
It's getting very terse. It's the cinematic universe.
Whoa.
Well, I know, quite a name.
Universe.
Quite a name.
He's not Paul Chowdhury. He's Lloyd Cowdery.
What a twist. Stay home or go hard with Matt Rudyard.
Th-
Thank you for your fandom, Tim Brandon. He writes in ancient Egypt on a papyrus. It's Ben Pollard Matthias.
Is she a legend? Well, did Elvis have a quiff? It's Jessica Smith.
Did he? He did. Bit. Yeah. Let's all have a party with Sheila Carty. I'd like to spend a penny all over Graham Denny.
I once had piles.
Apologies, Graham.
I'd like to spend a penny to buy a present for Graham Denny.
Well, I mean, depending on who you are, you might prefer the first.
Graham. Graham, mate, listen. We've all had a drink.
We need to relieve ourselves. Come on. I'll show you my piles, Stephen Miles. We're going together. We're going forwards.
What?
Tom Edwards. I'm sorry, that's not good enough.
He stays up late watching The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. It's Matt Parsons.
Thank Evans for Rhiannon Evans. It's green eggs and ham with Hans Breakfast Man.
Hans Breakfast Man.
Yeah.
Love it.
What a name.
He's my kind of guy. It's Christoph Fry.
We have never shared a lover's tiff, and that is why she's Amy Smith.
Hey!
She's out of breath, and she pants. It's Steph Grant.
She's eating a delicious bowl of persimmons. It's Sarah Simmons.
I would walk 500 miles to be with her. Yes, I would really get my ramble on. But it's not a woman, it's James Hambleton.
Guys, gender is a construct. It's 2019.
Let's have lots of lovely lols with Dave Nichols.
She got what I need. It's Jessica Speed.
And that concludes today's Patreon Neighbourhood Watch Roll Call!
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.